Welcome to Moving On. Here you will get expert information, tips, and most importantly, the tools to moving on to a healthy, happy, and thriving life that you want to be living. Letting go of whatever is holding you back, whether you are in an unhealthy relationship or learning how to be in a healthy one, or maybe you are in a job that you've been dying to move on from, learn to let go of what's holding you back and become the thriving, healthy, and happy person that is inside you. Welcome to Moving On.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Moving On, where we talk to people who have been through all sorts of issues in their life, like most of us, right? But they've either gone in a different direction or they have found something inside of themselves that they didn't know existed, and they were able to push on, push forward, and come to where they are currently in their lives. So today I have with me Marilyn Aloria. Hey, Marilyn.
Hello. Super excited.
I'm super excited too. I love Marilyn. I literally love Marilyn. So anyways, let me tell you a little bit about Marilyn in case you do not know about her. She's the creator of the Soul Finder Academy and membership for your soul. She is an internationally renowned psychic medium, teacher, and coach who offers profound and powerful insights to clients around the world. Marilyn knows that it's possible to be a spiritual person who lives a practical, meaningful, and joyous life. No unicorns, I love that, by the way, flying carpets or impossible routines required. Yes. Helping others create that type of life for themselves is her passion. Engaging her gifts of vision, hearing, knowing, and feeling, she does more than just provide a connection to the future or the afterlife. Marilyn gives her clients an action plan, and she shows them how to anchor into their true purpose. A dedicated healer and instructor, Marilyn also teaches people across the globe to develop their talents, allowing access to the answers that sit in the seat of their souls. I love that.
Thanks, Tracy. Super, so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me on. And Tracy and I are good friends. So I'm really, it's like you're all sitting in the living room with us as we discuss things.
I know. That's so exciting. And I'm going to try and keep us in a conversation about that because usually we'll just go off and 50 different directions. So what I want to do though is, you know, to give people an idea of your journey. Like, first of all, I know you didn't start off going, I'm a psychic medium, and that was your life journey. So what was your earlier life like that you went in a different direction, or, you know, some of the challenges that you came across that actually brought you here?
Wow, there's so many different starting points, like anybody can relate to. There's different experiences, different starting points. I came from a very traumatic childhood. And I had these experiences since I was like 3 years old, but didn't recognize that this is what was happening because there was so much trauma going around. And I was told, I'm sure people relate to this, was my imagination. I know, Tracy, you will. You're too sensitive. You're this, you're that. So you end up putting it away and not knowing how to deal with it properly. So the way that I dealt with it by the time I was 13 or 14 was drinking a lot. And then by the time I was 16, doing a lot of drugs, just to try to quiet the feelings and the voices and the confusion. It was a very confusing time for me. And I was very depressed. I went in and out of depression and suicidal thoughts and a lot of sadness. And my parents were divorced. There was a lot that went on, which I'm happy to dive deeper into, but I just want to give an overview. And my insecurity, like I realized how low my self-esteem was, but there was also a part of me that knew there was something better or something greater I was supposed to be. And luckily for me, I had a mother that pushed education on me and pushed certain things. And even though I was like a troublemaker and getting thrown out of my house and all that kind of stuff, I went to college and she made me go away to college by the time I was 19, because I was a mess, a real bad mess. And I was in college and I was studying to be an accountant. And my brother was like, what are you doing? Like, that is so not your personality. He's like, study television communications. And I wanted to be an actress, but I thought I couldn't be because I was told I couldn't be. So I went into TV.
By the way,
you know, the first person I said it to when I was 5 years old, I'll never forget, it was my mother's friend. And she just laughed like, you can't do that. And being a sensitive child, we hear everything that's underneath it. It's not just the laugh. We hear, you know, you're this, you're that, especially as a psychic. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And then my mother didn't support it through the years, and the nuns in my Catholic school didn't support it. So it was really a lot. But so I went and studied television communications, and I did an internship at MTV, and I stayed in touch with them, and I got hired right away. And it was a great job, but I was so depressed and so suicidal that I went to therapy. And the therapist talked me into going into improv classes because I stopped drinking for a little while. And she was like, go into improv, let's get your confidence up. And I fell in love with acting. And the acting coach was phenomenal. She was an amazing person, Sheila Gray. And she's like, you could get work. And I started pursuing acting. I decided to leave TV after winning an Emmy, and I decided to pursue acting. And I got the lead in an off-Broadway play right away. But again, those self-esteem issues started coming back, and not worthy and not good enough. And, you know, I remember my brother coming to the play and he was like, you should take tips from so-and-so. And I was like, oh my goodness. After seeing my performance, I was like, oh my goodness. But during that time, and we can dive deeper, but I always had my psychic ability. It was always in and out, but I started seeing deceased people. And I thought it was my PTSD because I was getting help for PTSD. And when 9/11 happened, that it just opened the floodgates. And there's such a long story with it, but you just can't deny it. It's who you are, and they were coming and they were talking to me and they were showing up. And I just started going into it and studying it because I had a great medium say, learn how to use your gifts. It'll move your life along. And I started learning how to use my gifts, and this whole world opened up and I felt like I came home. So that's the abbreviated story.
Okay, well, there's several points that I would love to jump into. So, you know, talking about when you were three, going back there to what was going on specifically, were you seeing dead people at three? What was happening that made you feel like you were different and your mom was making these comments like, you know, no, that's not your imagination?
Before I get into that, I want to say something real quick to people. You don't realize that you're having the experiences you're having are psychic experiences until I stepped into my psychic ability. And I was like, holy mackerel, I was having precognitive dreams. So at 3 years old, I was having dreams of these little men with no arms or legs that would crawl all over my body. And I'd wake up screaming. And every time I woke up screaming, I had a fever. I was sick. And I got to a point where I intuitively knew as a young child, maybe I was 3-4 years old, that when I woke up screaming, I would be like telling my mother to take my temperature. I knew I was sick. So that was the first thing. When I was 5 years old, Easter Sunday, they told me to hide while they hid my gifts. So I went into the bedroom and I could see clearly in my mind's eye what they bought me and where they hid it. And when they told me to come into the living room, I went to the curtain, got my doll. I went onto the TV, got my basket. And they were like, you cheated. And I'm like, I'm 5 years old. I'm Catholic. It's Easter Sunday. But how do you explain to them? I saw it all. So yeah.
And the reason I'm asking you this too, is that there are a lot of people that listen who kind of went through the same, you know, situation of being shut down. And, you know, whatever they were seeing or experiencing. So I think that's valuable. And I also think it's valuable that you're saying, hey, when you do step into your psychic abilities, then you see how all of it plays out. And I'm with Marilyn in the, I don't go onto the woo-woo train in terms of, you know, making this ridiculous, like we wear a purple turban and have a crystal ball in front of us. So, you know, when you were young, so a lot of the trauma that you went through was around, what was it, around your family life or was it outside of your family?
So, and I love what you just said, Tracy. And you know what I love about Tracy is that sometimes you'll get into these mediumship rooms or psychic rooms and they're very competitive. Mm-hmm. And I actually am starting to open up my ability. Even I can speak to deceased loved ones a lot, and I turned it off because I got so tired of so much nonsense. So I wanted to just throw that tidbit in for some reason, because if anybody's hearing us and going, wow, I relate to that, I want you to own it. I want you to really jump into it and be who you are. I think everybody's gifted. And I know you do too, Tracy, like open up to your gifts. So my father was very abusive to my mother. When I was four and a half years old, one of my first memories is he tried to kill her in front of us by shooting a gun at her.
Oh my.
So he had her up against the porch door. He was shooting a gun next to her. She was screaming to us to get out of the room. I have three older brothers. And we were running into the other room trying to call 911, but it was busy because it was back in 1969, 1970. And I just remember that clearly. And my brothers trying to protect us, and my brothers trying to protect me. And then when he finally left, he went out into the hallway. My mother threw us into the bedroom and he shot through the wall and missed my brother by an inch.
Oh my God.
So, and he was a police officer. So that night the cops came and they roadblocked the streets, but because of the police back then were really a brotherhood, and my father was a good cop, so I don't want to say anything bad about him. He was just drunk. So that was one of the traumatizing experiences. And then it just kind of escalated from there. And I think as a sensitive and empath, it's really difficult to be in that scenario, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it's like you absorb trauma in a completely different way than somebody who's not sensitive.
Totally. It always amazes me how I could be talking to someone and we could witness the same thing. And I'm devastated by the experience and they're like just going about their day. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, you really have to learn how to manage it, because the worst thing for empaths is when they shut down their heart, because that's how they know how to deal with it. And your heart is your truth center. You want to be in your heart.
I agree with that. It's so funny because I'm always telling people, because I used to walk into rooms and just soak everything up. Like whatever was happening, I was like the human sponge. And I said, you have to set boundaries with yourself so that you don't walk in and absorb everybody's energy or what's going on with everybody. Because you'd walk out going, why am I angry? I wasn't angry when I walked in this room. So, you know, that's something I think, you know, that we can get into too, talking a little bit about tips and stuff that people can use in their lives. And so, of course, you have all of this trauma, and I can understand there was probably more instances of that as well. And then you're a teenager and you're partying. And I went through very much the similar, you know, situation when I was a teenager. And then you go off to college. And what were you partying in college, by the way? Or were you just really, okay, I'm going to be studying and get my degree? I know you said accounting and you changed that. But what was your deal there?
So before I went away to, I didn't go away until my third year. So my freshman year, I didn't want to go to college. My mother filled out my applications and I could barely get into a college because my grades were not great. My SAT scores, I think, were just okay. And she got me into a college, Pace University at home. And, but I was doing, I realized like for something inside of me said, you've got to get out of here. So I started doing really well at school because I just wanted the opportunity to go to another school and go away. And I was on I was doing so many drugs, and my mother threw me out when I was 19. It was one of the worst years of my life. And I started realizing there was other abuse, and I'm not going to get into that because I have chosen not to speak about some of these things just to protect the people, because I actually have a lot of forgiveness for the things that happened. But so my mother saw how badly I needed to get out of the neighborhood. So she took my father back to court. He was paying no child support, pretty much like nothing. She always got raked over the coals in the court systems because he had so much pull in them. She could finally afford a good attorney and took us back to court, took him back to court. He sued me. I had to get on the stand.
Oh my gosh.
And it was very difficult, but she won and she got more money and she got me out of the neighborhood. So I went away to school to Marist College and I stopped doing drugs for a year, which was great. I was doing cocaine, still drinking. And I still, you know, but, and then I got together with a guy who ended up being a dealer and got right back into it. Mm-hmm. But going away to school was the best education for me, because my neighborhood, I grew up in Bay Ridge, and it's a very tight knit neighborhood where you hang out with like 100 kids. And when I went away to school, I lost my security blanket of the neighborhood and my good friends, but I luckily landed in with a group of girls that were amazing. But it really grew me in a way that, like, it was so phenomenal. And I'm just so glad. And it opened up my world. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad that my mother did. Like, she saved my life. Really.
That's
saved
awesome. I mean, it is. It's awesome that your mom, even through her own stuff, was able to see that.
Yeah, totally. Because we were at odds and hating each other. I mean, the last time she threw me out of the house, she was on top of me, ready to hit me with an iron. Like, she and my brother stopped her, thank goodness, because she could have really hurt me. But she knew I was out of control, and she was out of control with me.
Yeah. Yeah. One begets the other in that situation, especially with having probably been through years of abuse with your dad.
Yeah. He was in and out. So I was the youngest child. I didn't get it as bad, but the havoc he left in the house by my other brothers, it was just a crazy, time. It was really a crazy time, unfortunately.
So, I'm going to ask you something that's kind of off topic, but on topic. How did this affect your choice in men? How did this, you know, as you were young and then getting older, did this have any impact on who you chose, what you chose? I know you said you chose a drug dealer, and I dated a drug dealer too. So I did.
Anyway, that's fun.
Oh yeah. I was in high school and did that. It's like, oh, this is fun. This is wild. Oh, I'm going to date a cocaine dealer. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. I think that unfortunately, every single relationship I had except one was a drug addict or an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And three of my exes are dead.
Wow.
So, which makes it interesting as a medium, but that's a whole other story.
You know. Did they come to you? Did they visit
they
you?
They did. Yes, they used to a lot. And one in particular, you know, one attached, I don't believe in attachments because I believe in free will, but he did attach to me when I was very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I was finding myself going into Trader Joe's, buying beer, drinking beer. I'm like, why am I drinking beer? And I was working with a woman at the time. And I was like, I think I have an, and he was attached to me. He was like living through me. And I don't necessarily believe in that stuff. So I don't want people to be afraid of it. Cause I had to learn to say, get the F out.
Right. Oh, but, you can curse on here, by the way.
Oh, good. On my podcast, I curse.
Yeah, we curse here too.
I tried not to like the first five episodes, and then the producers, the people that produce my podcast, they're like, oh, you let the F-bomb out. And I'm like, damn, I tried to be good. But it made very bad choices in men and good choices too, Tracy, because although my first two boyfriends, they were really sweet. Mm-hmm. And my last boyfriend was really sweet too. But unfortunately, like I said, they had substance abuse problems. So I am very cautious and too cautious now. As you know, we've been talking a little bit about, I sit back and I observe, I watch. When I get attracted to a guy now, I will not act. I just sit back and I observe first and I watch their behavior before I jump in.
Mm-hmm. And has that helped you?
Yes, but you know what it's done is it doesn't allow me to go on the date because I'm playing tennis with a lot of them. So I play a lot of tennis. So I'm able to watch them on the court without having to take it a step further. And yeah, I watch them and I'm like, oh my goodness, thank goodness. Like one guy I was attracted to the minute I moved to Northern California, he's a total drug addict and I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. So thank goodness I paused because he's a mess. And I was so chemically attracted to him that my old MO would have been like, jump in. He was attracted to me. And I was like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that whole chemistry thing, and that can make you really lose your mind. Literally like, oh, what experiences have I had? What negative experiences with this kind of chemistry? Let me just jump in. So it says a lot about how much you've grown too through that.
Don't you think though, as a psychic and as an empath, it could be a little bit even more confusing because we're feeling, I don't know, for me, I'm feeling so much at so many different levels when that chemistry comes. I always say I'm like bewitched on a lot of vodka. I'm twinkling my nose. I'm calling all this crap in. I'm acting like I'm completely drunk witch. Like it's just stupid. And I won't do it anymore.
I love that description. I remember my last attached relationship. And I'm sitting there talking to the guy. And in my head, I'm like, you're so fucked. You're so fucked. You're so fucked. And then I got in my car and he screamed after because he walked me to my car. And I'm just like, I am so fucked. And I knew I was because I knew what was going to happen. I knew what I was getting into. I knew that there was no escape at that time because I hadn't worked through my own crap around how I got attached to people like this, where I knew it was going to be a crash and burn at some level. But yeah, right away. And I ignored every red flag waving in my face. I thought, I'll just be his friend. Yeah, okay. So anyway.
I went through the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. And he was the exact duplicate, the exact of my other ex, like the guy I was living with, who I loved. He was a great guy, but down to the sexual abuse in their life, like crazy. Mm-hmm. And the chemistry was so strong that all reason goes out. And I could see it. I was conscious of it. I'm like, this is not a good choice. But
yeah. Yeah.
So I've made choices not to do that any longer.
Yeah. It's hard, but it's at the same time. That was one of the things, you know, when I had that last relationship, because it was on and off over 6 years. But the thing was, I recognized, I'm like, I don't want this kind of chemistry with somebody again. Number one, this was without me knowing anything about the kind of work I do now. It was just, I know I don't want this again. I know that I can't live like this because I had anxiety 24/7 because mm-hmm. I was just a fucking mess. And I was just attached to whatever this guy was going to do, you know? Yeah. And it's not a way to be in a relationship. And I knew I wanted calmer. I just kept saying, I want calm and I want love and I want it to feel good and things I'd never experienced, by the way, in a relationship. I may have had calm moments, but not all the time.
Yeah. I understand that. I feel like I know what you're saying. And for me, I was so proud of myself because I just ended it. I was like, enough. I'm not going to be taken. Like, he was like, let's be friends. Let's do. I'm like, no, like it was such a game playing thing.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's very hard, but it's not because you make better choices for yourself.
It is. So let's talk a little bit more about your abilities and, you know, so here you were going to be an actress because you took your improv and they're like, you know what, you could get parts. So how did you go from that to deciding I want to, you know, do my psychic mediumship full time? I mean, I know there's something in there.
Yeah. So I was acting off Broadway. I was the lead. And then I left that play because it was starting to become uncomfortable and miserable. And I promised myself I'll never be miserable in a job again. Mm-hmm. When I left TV, and TV was so good to me. I was at NBC Olympics. They were really good to me. But I was like, I'll never be miserable again. It was my promise to myself. So I was acting and 9/11 happened, which was just, I was a block away from the triage, extremely difficult for me. So I moved to California and I was struggling with getting parts and struggling with auditions. And through that, I started studying, like my mediumship ability was making me crazy. Mm-hmm. I started studying it and I started studying tarot and I started doing readings for free because you have to practice in order to get good. And I was really good at it. And I was starting to fall in love with it. And I was acting still, and I was doing my mediumship and my psychic ability. And I was working on I went to clear a restaurant. I'm getting ready to share this story in a podcast in October. And there was a dead spirit there. And it ended up being a Hollywood star that got killed. And I was told who the real murderer was and this whole thing. I'm not going to get into that whole story, mm-hmm. but I was home one day and I was working on the murder case with the spirit and with this other guy. And I had to leave to go on set because I was doing a short film and I did not want to leave. I just wanted to work on the murder case. And I just wanted to be a full-time medium. And in that moment, I knew I was done with acting. And I went on set and I'll never forget the last scene. I was like, I am so done with this. I called my commercial agents after and I was like, take me off. I took myself off all of the acting and I just threw myself 100% into my business and continued to grow it. And it's been, I realized this last night, it's been like over 15 years.
Wow.
And I don't know that I've ever stuck with a career that long. So I'm like, wow, and it doesn't even feel like 15 years. Like, it's amazing to me.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like it really wasn't a career choice, even though it was like, you're not going to do acting. It's just what you were meant to do.
Yeah. Like I said, I fell into my soul. I fell into my alignment. I fell into who I am, my home. And it just, all of a sudden, all these doors started blasting open for me. And it was just, something else bigger than me was telling me, do it, do it. I was like, you know, I was getting invited into Curve's gym to do platform readings where you're standing and doing readings for like 40 people. I've never done that before.
And that invitation just came to you?
A friend of mine was like, oh, I'm going to talk to Curve's gym about you. Like, she just did it. And they were like, yeah, come in. And then it opened up other doors to other Curves. And it was like something... I just knew I had to do it. And believe me, when I was stepping, I'll never forget one of the Curves I was about to go into and do this platform readings. And I was scared out of my wits. Like, I'm like, what the F are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? You don't know what to do. But there was something bigger than me. It was like, go do it. Mm-hmm. What incredible learning experiences. Like, I'm so glad I walked through it. And then I was teaching out the gate too. I loved teaching. And I remember leaving, and I want to share this with everybody because you think like you hear people that are successful and you think it's all roses and sunshine and puppies and unicorns. It's not. I would leave some of these classes after teaching a full day and be like, why did I say that? Why did I do that? I beat myself up over certain things. It was a really uncomfortable experience, but a necessary one. And I'm so glad I did it because I love teaching. Love it.
Yeah. I love teaching myself. And it's really interesting because you just have to go through all of that to develop confidence. I mean, I used to sit there with this like voice in my head going, you're not going to be able to say the next word. You're not going to be able to remember. You're going to make an ass of yourself. I used to have that ongoing voice, and it's so funny. I never hear that voice anymore, by the way.
Me either. Isn't that amazing? And you'll do like, you know, you'll do something, an interview, or you'll teach a group of people, and maybe for a second, something will come in and be like, why'd you say, and I'll be like, done. I don't do that anymore. I'm sorry. On to the next thing.
It's so true. And, you know, I think anything you do in life that you do it often and you start to, you know, work the muscle out, you do develop confidence, you do develop value. And that also, by the way, makes you pickier about what you do, who you do it with, why you do it. And I'm sure in your own business, it's like, you know, in the beginning, it might have been, and I don't know, a free for all, or you would just say yes to everybody. But I'm sure that changed if that was your case.
Totally, completely. First, it was like with readings, you know, I'd be like, this was my thing, because source was my source, you know, God was my source. I don't care what people believe in whatever you want. But sometimes people would come for a reading, and after they'd leave, I'd look at my guides and be like, why the fuck did you send me that person, you know? And though I wouldn't curse to them, but I wanted to say that to you guys, because that's what I'd be thinking. I'd be like, that was awful. And my guides would say, well, you needed to learn A, B, and C. I'm like, great, I'm learning it. Don't ever send me that type of person again. So I had to do that with clients, and then I had to have boundaries, even with payment, because I was reviewed. So I started getting really popular, and I would book people into my calendar. I had an assistant pretty early on, but I booked people in, and they would not show up.
Oh.
And I was like, no more. I have to pay ahead of time. Like you start changing your rules, but you learn as you go. And then I was doing a lot of telesummits, and then I stopped doing a lot of telesummits, and now I just do a handful. So it is, you do say yes to a lot of things, and then you learn, no, that's not, I don't need to say yes to that anymore.
I think so. And I think it's also, you know, like, and I know this is where you are because we've talked about it, but when it comes to even one-on-one clients, like I take very few one-on-one clients on. I prefer to teach. I'd prefer for them to be in my programs. And I think it's the same for you as well.
It is. I won't do readings, one-on-one readings. I only do them in my group programs. I do group readings. It's very rare that somebody in my program will say, can I have a reading? And I'll do it, because I do so much in the group programs, and then coaching too. I agree with you. Same thing. I have to pretty much know you before I take you on as a client, because I don't like a lot of one-on-one.
Yeah. I think that it can be, you know, it gets to be very draining when you've been doing it for a long time. And plus there's so much more that you have to offer. And if you're being drained off that way, it's hard to put your creativity in another direction.
I agree with that 100%, but I also agree, for people that are listening, you get so much more out of being part of a group. Because other people are going to ask questions that you didn't even think to ask. And now all of a sudden you're learning something else completely. So I think, and then they get to.
Uh-oh. It froze.
Id? Hold on.
Yeah, it froze. Yeah.
Am I still frozen?
No, you're fine.
Now you're back. You know, I live in the hills, girl.
I know. It's okay. We'll just edit that little clip right out. So, okay. Yeah. But anyways, so I have a couple more questions too, along the lines of, so people now come to you, what kind of place are they in? What is it that they're looking for? Because obviously they're not coming for one-on-one readings. Like what does somebody show up for?
Most people, so I have two programs, Membership for Your Soul and Soul Finder Academy, right? I'm a big believer that it's not about your purpose in life. It's being aligned with your soul and living your life from your soul, which I know you believe in too, because there's so many iterations that you go through that you want to be aligned with your soul when your purpose continues to evolve and change and you grow. So in Membership for Your Soul, my main thing, Tracy, was I was done with doing readings and I want to teach people how to do it for themselves. Because I got very tired of questions of, should I marry this man? Should I have this baby? Big life questions.
Yes.
And you're coming into a reading, and sometimes, you know, luckily for me and you, we have integrity, but you could go to a reader that doesn't have integrity and mess up your life.
Yep. Yep. Hey, how about those $10,000 crystal singing bowls?
Exactly.
You get those, or you're going to be cursed the rest of your life.
Totally. And I've seen too much of that. And I was tired of people rendering themselves powerless. So in membership, I teach them how to develop their psychic gifts, how to develop their channeling ability so they can communicate with their guides. I'm a big believer that the dreams in your heart are meant to be lived, not suffer. And I give you the techniques and tools to make that a reality and also not feel alone. Like my biggest thing, when my guides came into my life, I channel, that's when I realized I wasn't alone. There was this incredible amount of support. And then Soulfinder Academy is all about aligning with your soul and living your life from your soul. So most of the people that come to me are people that realize there's something greater in their life. They're just not living it. And they're done with believing that they're less than. They finally are tapping into a light inside of them that's like, wait a second, I know there's got to be more for me. And I want to get the guidance and I want to be able to guide myself and I want to make better choices and I want to live a better life. And those are the people that come to me.
I think that's awesome. I do. I think that so many people fall into things in their life, you know, like they fall into a job, they fall into a relationship, and then they wake up one day and they're like, wait a minute, where am I? What am I doing? This isn't where I want to be.
Yeah. And what I love about what you just said is that was one of the reasons I started doing this was because I was done with the rabbit hole myself. Mm-hmm. And you need to get conscious to the choices you're making and not fall down that rabbit hole. And another reason is Soulfinder Academy was born out of me moving up here to Northern California in nature, something I'd never experienced from Brooklyn and Manhattan to LA. Like those, I was always a city girl. And I was standing on my deck and a friend was with me who's a big, big executive in TV. And she looked at me, looked at the trees, looked at me, looked at the trees, then looked at me and she said, how did you make this happen? How did you do this? And I have so many friends that have executives in television that it was their passion 20 years ago, but it's no longer their passion. They're getting to an age where they're like, there's more in my life than this. I'm getting ready to retire. Where do I go now? Mm-hmm. And so Soulfinder Academy, that's where it was born out of, like, let me teach you how to continue to find your joy and to live your joy. And some people create a career. I mean, my career is a lifestyle. It's my joy.
Right.
So it teaches them how to align with all of that. So they're living from their place of joy in all areas of their life. And they know how to say no to things that they don't want to do anymore.
I think that's important because what I actually think is important is that people have to learn to trust themselves and trust the universe, God, whatever, to match. And it's not because you are born knowing what the hell you're supposed to do, because so many things get piled on top of us, expectations, society, parents, what have you. And so even if you did have some idea what you were born to do, you wouldn't know when you're young.
No.
So
not unless you had parents that were encouraging every single thing you were doing, which is very rare.
That is true. And so I think it's interesting also, that's my husband shutting the door. Thank you. Because my dog was coming up.
I saw the dog like, oh, the dog's coming in.
Well, I wanted to see all over the floor. So
I know. Well, I have two dogs, two cats, so I get it.
Yeah, it makes it fun. Yeah, I think that the okay, so somebody's not happy with being shut out of here.
Oh, he's like, oh my goodness, let me in.
Yep. I love these kind of things. Okay, so you know, one of the things too, because a lot of people that are listening don't really trust themselves, don't really trust their own choices, second guess themselves all the time. And it's really difficult, I think, for most people to do that. And I wanted to clarify one other thing before you answer that. And what I'm saying about trusting, you know, God or the universe, what I mean by that is allowing, letting go, you know, not pushing or forcing an agenda, because that doesn't, to me, relate to what is in your heart. What is in your heart feels more natural, feels more open and allowing. What would you say to what I'm saying here?
No, I agree with that. And I like that. I think what I would add to that is I feel like people got so caught up in the lies of what they were told they were that they've lost their truth. So as much as I love what you said about allowing and not pushing, I also want people to also acknowledge their truth. It's amazing to me how if they want to be a writer, they won't even admit to themselves they want to be a writer because there's that critical voice that says, you can't be a writer, you're too old. There's too many authors out there. What do you think? You're better than them? So I think it's a combination of things. There's never just one answer. That's why I bring people like you onto my Membership for Your Soul program, because I am not an expert in all fields. I have an expertise and then I like to marry it. So the more people expose themselves to learning about themselves and how they make decisions and why they make decisions and, you know, what went on and not becoming victim to it, the more they're going to align with their truth and their soul and be able to make really much better decisions. Life is not over.
No, it's not. And it's so funny that you say that too, because I think that most of us are looking for a unicorn. I'm going to actually do a podcast about that, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm. We are. We think that there's some kind of unicorn existence. So even though I feel like I'm living my life on purpose and you are living your life on purpose, it doesn't mean I wake up chasing unicorns all day long.
No, and I think what bothers me about that is there are a lot of spiritual teachers out there that make you think that just because they've reached some enlightenment, everything's bliss now. It's puppies. It's cotton candy. And I'm like, no, you still have moods. You still have things that happen. The difference is that I have the techniques and tools or the understanding. There was a big moment in my life when I moved up here and I was out on the floor crying my eyes out because something happened. And I heard my guide say, wow, something great's going to happen from this. Something big, something tremendous. And I was hysterical crying. And I was like, will you just let me cry? And I heard them say, no, this is a moment where you're going to discover something phenomenal about yourself and about this experience. And now I was like, they're right. And it stopped me from crying. And I got into solution-based thinking. And I have the techniques and tools to apply to those moments of devastation. And that's the difference.
That's huge. That's resiliency to me.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Being able to not have it swallow you whole. And then here you are stuck in this bitterness or, you know, feeling like life is never going to cooperate with you or this always happens to me or, you know, all the other stories we tell ourselves. Especially as we get older too. One of the things you were saying about you had your friends, these TV executives, you know, come and they're like looking at the trees and looking at you. There's a lot to that because I don't think you need to be older to figure this out either. I think you can be younger and let your path open up for you.
Completely. Completely. And also something that you said, Tracy, and it's not like I don't have moments every now and then, like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm done with this. They right. just don't last as long. You know, so I'm glad you're going to do that podcast because I want people to understand like that's reality. That's real life. You know, don't deny yourself your emotions, your feelings, because they are telling you something really important.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that too, because I'm always talking about that. It's like, if you have feelings, they're there for a reason. Don't deny yeah. them. Don't dismiss them. So a couple of things before we wrap it up, what would you say in terms of you know, people that are searching, people that are kind of lost or, you know, stuck in not functional places, you know, what would be a few tips that you would offer to them?
I love that question because when that happened to me, my guides taught me this 1 to 10 list and it's on my YouTube channel. If you go to 1 to 10. So what I would ask these people to do is every night list out the events of their day and rate them 1 to 10, 1 being the least fun and 10 being the most fun. And focus on the things that are 7 to 10s. What this does is this makes you conscious to your life, also makes you realize how you're spending your time. And the biggest thing is the things that are 7 to 10, which these people may say, I don't have any of those, they do. They're the kisses from your dog. They're the snuggling your cat. And when you start adding more of those moments into your life, you start shifting internally and then the external shift as well. And when I did this in my life, I was like, it was nothing that cost money. I was like, oh, just going to Gelson's and talking to the cashier because I'm working on my own. That's a 10 for me. Mm-hmm. And I made sure I started doing more of them and my whole life changed. There's another one called the Souls List, which I think is super important because these people have just, I've been in these moments where you're just so like, oh my, the Groundhog Day, a lot of people are having that with COVID, nothing's changing. I keep applying myself. And you really have to, I'm going to give two more things real quick. So the second one is a Souls List. Write down on a piece of paper things that you feed your soul. That can come from the 7 to 10 list. Things that you haven't done, things that you want to do, some things you do one of those a day. So say on your Souls List is go to Egypt and you can't go to Egypt that day. You can go online for 10 minutes and look up Egypt. That's going to start bringing joy into your life because people have lost their joy. They yeah. really are.
Yeah, I agree.
The last one I want to give is a real simple. Every night before you go to bed, at least for a month, write down 3 things you loved about yourself that day. And when I used to have to do five things. When I ask people to do this, they find it so hard, but it's so good. I'm honest. I have integrity. I listened to that person. I spoke to that elderly woman who needed to speak to me yesterday. When you start acknowledging yourself that way, you start realizing there's a purpose here for you. There's so much more.
I totally agree. It's so funny. I've been using this analogy lately. It relates to that. And I was talking about how we have this view of reality that's very limited. So as an example, like I take my dog on a walk and he had just been learning how to be on a leash over the last month and a half. And so I was finding myself getting irritated by the end because he was so obnoxious. And, you know, one day he'd be better and next day he wouldn't. And I'm like, Tracy, pay attention to how your dog is on the whole walk. And so I started noticing he was actually really good. And actually, for the most part, 90% of the walk, he was really good. And I'm like, okay, so you are now bringing in a new reality. It's kind of a simplistic way of saying it, but it really brought in a new reality of my dog is pretty well behaved. He just kind of freaks out when there's other dogs. Okay, I can deal with that. You know, I can do something about it. But I think we tend to do this with a lot of tasks that we just do every day. We don't see that joy, like, you know, your dog kissing you, you know, cuddling with your cat, whatever. We miss that.
Yeah, I love that analogy because I think that so many times we're programmed to just look at the critical stuff.
Yep.
And that's what we focus on. I had that recently with something. I did a great experience. It was received so well. People were like, oh my goodness, it's life changing. And then I get one email that says, you kind of, you know, you did blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I have all these comments. And of course I'm focusing on that and not in a constructive way either. Like the person was fine. They weren't being mean. And I responded to her and she was like, oh, it was about me. It wasn't about you. Like she responded back to me. She was like, I'm sorry. No, I take full responsibility for that. But I caught myself in the moment, like, why are you focusing on just one negative comment or whatever, instead of focusing on people who are just like blown away by the experience?
Right. Right. But that's what we do. We are actually physiologically wired to do that. And it's just having an awareness of it and then being able to do something about it. Right.
I never knew that. Look at that. I didn't know that.
Yep. We are physiologically wired for the negative because it's a survival instinct. I'm having trouble. So like if you were, you know, in the cave and dad went out, right? Dad goes out. Oh, dad didn't come back because dad was a saber-toothed tiger's lunch. Right. So you're going to have a negative, like, okay, I got to be careful when I go outside the cave.
Yeah.
Positive. Oh, hey, dad didn't come back. It's okay that dad got eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. You're not going to be that way. So we still have that, you know, rudimentary part of our brain. That's a survival instinct. So we can overcome it and we do, but it takes a lot of awareness because most of us don't have that awareness that we can actually change these things.
I love that. I love learning new things. Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome. Well, I've learned a lot from you today, so I really appreciate that. Yeah. So if people are interested in either of your programs or, you know, want to know more about themselves, especially developing their own psychic skills and, you know, or finding their life path, what would you say? Where do they go? How do they start?
Okay. So I'm going to give a couple of things. One is MarilynAloria.com/guides, G-U-I-D-S. You're going to meet your own guide, your own personal guide, and get a personal message. So you can do that. You can go to my podcast, Who Can It Be Now? The podcast, Who Can It Be Now? The podcast. I teach a lot in there. And then you can go to membershipforyoursoul.com or soulfinderacademy.com. Mainly everything is on MarilynAloria.com. Awesome. And we always have little gifts that we give and stuff like that.
That's awesome. I love it. You guys should go visit her website. You should sign up for everything because Marilyn's awesome.
Thank you. So is Tracy.
Thank you. I know we have the mutual admiration club here. So
we do. We leave little Marco Polos for each other and we're laughing and like, I love you and all that kind of stuff. It's so nice to finally, when you meet your tribe and it's like, you know, everybody's supportive of each other and wants to see everybody accelerate. It's such a wonderful experience.
It really is. And I'm really grateful. And I am very grateful, by the way, that you joined me today. So thank you.
Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. So everybody, thank you for tuning in. If you have any questions at all, go ahead and leave them wherever you happen to find the video, whether it's YouTube or Facebook, or I don't even know where the hell else this goes. But anyway, you can leave it there. If you hear it in audio, leave questions there. We'll get them answered. And thanks again for joining us. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
For more information about Tracy and her programs and to set up a discovery session, email happiness@tracycrossley.com. That's happiness@tracycrossley.com, or go to the website for more information. And thank you for tuning in to Moving On.